you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, April 13th, 2023. I'm Donna Leland. Our guest today has spent his time recently delving into social media and how it's affecting the youth of today. Chris Martin is the author of The Wolf in Their Pockets, detailing the dangers of social media, but also a way forward. Welcome, Chris, to Mark and Friends.
Thanks for having me.
No, thank you so much. I love this topic, and I think it's so important for us today. So many of our listeners, they are grandparents, and they care about their grandkids. And so we want to give them some resources and some things to think about today. Now, Wolf in Their Pockets, what's it about? Who is it for? And why do we need this right now?
Sure. The Wolf in Their Pockets is really my attempt to help church leaders, pastors, parents, even grandparents, anyone who's really actively discipling someone else, to recognize the grip social media has on the people you're trying to disciple and lead and care for, and try to figure out some ways to disciple the people you love when you recognize that social media is discipling them more than just about anything else. Like you said in your intro, this is a big issue among young people. I talk to a lot of student ministries and parents of teenagers. In fact, I lead in the student ministry at my local church and have been leading in student ministry since virtually since I was a high schooler. And so I recognize that this is a sort of student ministry issue. However, at the same time, I say this in the book, and I regularly say this when I talk about this subject, is I think it's important for us as Christians, the more maybe mature ones in leadership, whether because of our age or just because of our post, I think it's important for us to recognize that this is not solely a young person issue. Mm. It's not 2006 anymore. This stuff isn't new. And I think it's fair to say that the Gen X and boomer parents and young grandparents of our teenagers today are just as influenced by Facebook as Gen Zers are influenced by TikTok. And so it's important for us, I think, as church leaders and as people who are influencing other Christians in our various communities and homes, to recognize that we may be impacted by these things as much as the people that we care about, especially if they're young people. Now, of course, young people still are the power users of social media. Where teenagers go, so do their parents follow with regard to internet usage and social media usage specifically. But I think it's important, really important for us as some of the leaders of the church, whether formally on staff or informally in more lay capacities, to not relegate this issue to the youth room. We've gotten to a kind of an unhealthy spot for a while, is because we've just assumed, this is a young person issue, and it's not something that a 40 or 50 year old struggles with. And I think anybody who spends more than an hour on Facebook any given day would beg to differ, because the folks going off the wall on Facebook usually aren't 16-year-olds, but closer to 60-year-olds. So,
now, Chris, what do you think the average time spent on social media is these days?
Yeah, the average internet user uses social media 2.5 hours per day. Now, if you think about your day, there's not really much you do in a given day for more than 2.5 hours other than work, if you're still of working age, and sleep. Nobody's usually going to the gym for 3 hours a day. If you're a parent, maybe you're spending 3 hours a day actively with your child, but you're doing different things as you do that. You might play outside or go to the grocery store or whatever. But there's nothing you do for 2.5 hours a day other than sleep and work, or if you are a student, go to school. So the reason I make the claim very early in the book that social media is the chief discipler of our age, and I stand behind that, and I am pretty passionate about defending that whenever anybody questions it. And I think my only defense, and I don't think I really need much of another one, is you only have to look at time. If you look at anything that you do for 2.5 hours a day, you're going to say, yeah, that really impacts my life. If you do something for 2.5 hours a day, that's going to really impact your life. And so I think it's important for us to recognize that when we're spending, and that, again, that's on average 2.5 hours a day, that it's going to dramatically influence how we see the world, see ourselves. And let me say again, to the first point about how this is not solely a young person or teenager issue, is that survey is done of adults. So the average adult, that means 18 or older, spends 2.5 hours a day on social media. And only about one, only about your seniors in high school are going to be included in that survey. So if you're thinking, again, maybe if you remain unconvinced that this is an issue beyond young people, I think 2.5 hours a day is a lot for anybody of any age. And that seems to be the going average right now.
You know, people think 2.5 hours, that's a long time. Remember in the Bible when, you know, Paul and the rest of them would preach for hours and hours, so much that someone would fall asleep and out of a window. And we think, oh, you know, who could do that much time listening to someone else and kind of downloading their information? But that's what's happening on this social media. We're downloading into our brains, into our souls, aren't we, this information?
So yeah, we ought to be concerned with what we're watching and listening to and reading. That's all well and good, but I think plenty of people have said that, and there's not a whole lot more to be said, for me anyway, in that space. Be careful what you watch and listen to and all of that. However, I do think that we should be considering, what is Facebook's recommendation algorithm doing to the way I think?
Yes.
How is it determining what I think is important? How is it determining what I think is valuable? Yes. Why do I think that someone going viral is so good? Well, you know, why is that? Why is going viral a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Should I care whether or not something goes viral? There's like a social proof to that, that, oh, if it goes viral, it must be popular or funny or otherwise virtuous. And so I think there are a lot of ways that the sort of ones and zeros and the foundations of the social internet, the technology, has reoriented and re-engineered the way we think about life and think about how we live in our own lives. And so I think it's important for us, as we engage with the social internet broadly and social media specifically, what is this doing to me and how is it changing the way I think? Not just, oh, I should stay away from this, or I should read this instead. That's good. But beyond that, what is the YouTube recommendation platform doing to me? Or how is Instagram changing the way I think about what is beautiful?
Yeah.
These are the kinds of questions I think we should be asking. And that's a little bit of what the book tries to get into.
Those are great questions. And I was just questioning that myself, sitting there with the movie feature on Facebook, the video. And then all of a sudden, in my feed started to come up all of these suggestions you might like based upon other viewing habits. And I just caught myself going, I don't want to watch this. I don't care about this. I don't want to go back in and watch 1970s, you know, ignorance to sitcoms. I wasted enough time in my life when I was a teenager on that, you know, so you just get so caught up in that. What's being suggested for us?
That's exactly right. And something I've often said, and I think I say this in the book, is that social media platforms are not interested in making you a better person. They are not interested in your sanctification or your education or your spiritual formation, surely. What we need to recognize is social media platforms are designed to deliver us more deeply into our desires, not deliver us from our desires. And as Christians, even if we're believers and we're trying not to sin and we're trying to stray from temptation and all of this, We all recognize that we can fall into temptation of whether it's consuming certain kinds of content or just consuming totally acceptable content too much.
Yeah.
And so what we need to recognize is that these social media platforms don't care about us. They just don't care. We tend to have kind of like high views of them, like, oh man, I love Facebook. I get to connect with my friends and family. It's not, you don't love Facebook, you just love that you get to talk to your friends and family. But we kind of are charmed, if you will, by these platforms, and we tend to have a positive view on them. That tide is changing a little bit. I think a lot of people are starting to become a little bit more skeptical of the platforms. But for the longest time, they've kind of tended to be darlings of our lives. Like, oh man, I love all this funny stuff I see here. These YouTube videos are really interesting and helpful. And I think what we need to remember is these platforms don't feel that same level of appreciation or affection toward us. And their sole goal, their sole interest, is to keep our eyeballs pointed at them for as long as possible, because that's how they make billions of dollars a quarter. And the way that we have to orient ourselves is to be sure that we don't let social media use us, but that we use social media. And that requires us to just have some awareness and to be intentional about how we engage with these platforms. And again, to recognize that these recommendation engines, as they're often called, or algorithms more specifically, these mathematical equations that determine, oh, you watched this, you must like this.
Yeah.
These things are, again, designed to deliver us more deeply into the things that are interesting to us, not deliver us from them. And that can be destructive if we're not careful.
We're visiting with Chris Martin, author of The Wolf in Their Pockets, 13 Ways the Social Internet Threatens the People You Lead. So drawing from everything you know, how can we have a healthy relationship with social media?
I think only you can be responsible for yourself. We don't get to blame social media platforms for our misuse of them. Now, let me put it this way. I say our misuse of them. If you find yourself addicted to a particular social media platform, or if you feel like you're addicted to a particular social media platform, that is by design. You're using the platform appropriately in the eyes of the platform. However, from, of course, a Christian perspective, we would view that as indulging and using the platform in a way that is not worshipful and not building ourselves up to become more like Jesus. However, all of that to say is no one's going to be able to really pull you out of this by themselves. You have to own your own discipline and development in this space. So the way that you have a more healthy relationship with social media, it's not like it's this simple. I don't mean to say that there's a sort of silver bullet here. Don't hear that.
Yeah.
But what I want to say is you have to enact practical, tangible limitations on yourself and how you relate to social media. Now, this is going to be different from everyone, which is different for everyone, which is why it's kind of hard for me to answer this question so shortly, and it's why I wrote a 200-page book on the subject. But I think generally speaking, it requires you to set screen time limits for yourself. I think it requires you to have a friend or a spouse who has the keys to every social media account you have. And perhaps if for instance, I have a screen time limit on my phone to where I can't use any non-essential apps past 8 p.m. or before 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. And if I want to use any non-essential apps during that time, you know, a couple hours before bed and a couple hours after waking up in the morning, I need to enter a screen time password. And that is currently a password that I do know and that I can do on my own. But in times that I've felt a lack of discipline, I've handed that passcode to my wife and said, hey, will you be this buffer for me and make sure that I'm managing my relationship with social media well? And so a lot of times you just need a partner. You need a buddy, a friend who can call it an accountability partner, call it whatever you want, somebody who can walk with you as you just try to have a more disciplined relationship with social media. And again, you may hear accountability partner and think, well, I'm not like watching porn or something. No. Like, yeah, that's good. And that's important that we walk rightly with regard to that. But we also, like, using social media for 4 hours a day should have a similar level of concern in our heads. Like, we should be concerned about that. And so we should seek accountability and help for even overusing social media. And so I think you need to recognize you can't do it on your own, but it's going to require more than just like white knuckled effort. Yeah. It's going to require some like actual tools that, praise God, are built into many of the phones and devices we use if we just would actually submit ourselves to using them. So that's some of the ways that I've managed that, is to actually set some screen time limits and create some, like, I'll almost sometimes, I'm currently doing this with a couple apps, I'll kind of hide the apps on my phone in folders that take like four taps to get to instead of having them across the bottom of my home screen, just because it makes, you know, it's like putting up hurdles as I'm running a sprint, right?
Yeah.
It makes it a little bit harder to get to them. So I'm less likely to just be tapping them all the time. Again, these are really small, tangible, practical things, but I'm not anti-social media. I use it. I love it. I think there are tremendous benefits to it. I just think we have to create some practical, tangible roadblocks for ourselves to not become beholden to them.
That's a great word. You know, I catch myself, you know, sitting down the end of the day, it's kind of my reward. You know, I get to sit on Twitter and check in with all the people that I like finding out what they're thinking, and I trust them, and they have benefited me greatly, especially through COVID and just getting some information to me that I needed to make some good choices. And so I want to check in and see what's going on. You know, you feel like, oh, I'm going to miss out on something if I'm off, you know, one day. But I do find myself sitting there for an hour, 2 hours. And physically, that's just not good for you. And so now I'm trying to catch myself. And also say something. I mean, I think this goes back to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. When I feel like I'm being fed thoughts about other people and getting me all riled up, you know, I just say, God, this is not you. I need to take this captive.
Yeah, totally. I think that's a really great word. And I think, like I said, you kind of, you know, I talk a lot about this in outside of relationships with social media when I'm talking with my wife or others. I lead a community group at my church. Sometimes we're tempted in passivity or fear to kind of like let life happen to us. Like things, now certainly there are certain things in life you can't control and that do just happen to you. You know, a tragedy comes upon you or you get in a car wreck and somebody else hit your car, right? There's nothing you can do about a lot of things in life. But there are certain things in life that I think we can kind of just willingly let happen to us because of a lack of inaction on our part or whatever else. And I think we can't just let our relationship with social media happen to us.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that comes from kind of uncritically embracing it. And so I just advocate for neither passively ignoring social media and saying, oh, this isn't important and it's not relevant to our lives. I also advocate for not uncritically embracing it and just saying like, yeah, this is awesome. Come on, it's not that bad. I think we need to sort of intentionally engage and have a relationship with social media that is on our terms, not on the terms of these platforms. And again, just to get practical for a second, another thing that I do that I didn't list before is like I have all notifications turned off on my phone other than phone calls and text messages. I don't get notifications for email. Yep. And I haven't even lost my job yet, believe it or not. I don't get notifications for anything on any major social media platform. And I'm an author trying to sell a book. So if I can manage it, certainly you, listener, can. And so I would encourage you, don't let your phone beckon you to use it. Use it on your own terms. You'll find you still use it plenty. At least that's been the case for me. But at least you're using it when you decide to use it rather than feeling like you're being beckoned. And I think that's an important dynamic in the relationship.
That is very great. I found a little button on my Twitter account which says favorites. Or, you know, the people that I've actually connected with. So I've switched over to only those people that I'm following. And I've stopped all this suggested for you business so that I can just get in touch with the people that I care about and I'm interested in and forget the rest. So I got to find that little button on Facebook so that I get rid of that suggested for you business. I think that's where they try to just draw you in and start to program your mind. I feel like that's what's going on here. They want access to our mind, and they get that when we're sitting there in that alpha state, just relaxing and scrolling and, you know. I'm trying to be more intentional about this. I'm catching myself, too.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard someone say, and this some may brand this as a bit cynical, but I think it's accurate, is that social media platforms are just massive behavior modification platforms, and that's really what they are. They're designed because you're not paying for any of these, and it's often been said that if it's free, you're the product, and that's kind of true. But I've actually said it's even worse than that. If it's free, you're not the product. Your data is the product, and frankly, you and I and our personalities just get in the way.
Yeah.
These platforms, if you will, prey on our data and our information and our clicks and taps and everything else so that it can be sold to advertisers. And that's why we can use these things for free, because we're paying with our data and our personal information, which a lot of folks don't care about. And look, I get it. But I think personal privacy is really important. And I think we're entitled to a right to privacy. And there's a difference between privacy and secrecy. Let's be here. Let's stick here for a second.
Okay.
One of the biggest pushbacks I've ever gotten when I talk about the importance of privacy is like, well, I don't have anything to hide. Like, why do I care? Why do I care if Facebook knows X, Y, or Z about me? And it's like, okay, look, I get it. You don't have anything to hide. I don't have anything to hide. Totally get it. But here's the deal. You still close the door when you go to the bathroom, or at least you should. If you're not, we got to have a bigger conversation. But you still close the door when you go to the bathroom. Why? Are you trying to hide something? No, you just want privacy. There's nothing wrong with privacy. And I think we should advocate for privacy. And so many of these platforms over the years have routinely demonstrated the sort of crass and sloppy ways that they handle user data that just so happen to benefit their true customers, the advertisers, more than the users themselves. And so I think it's important for us to just be on guard about these things and recognize that every time you not only post something, but you click something, you watch something, open something, whatever else, this is all being logged and tracked, and it's building a picture of you that's then being sold to companies that are paying for that data so they can, again, push their product or their ideas or whatever else. And so it's just important for us to recognize the role we have in relationship to these platforms and take ownership of that and not let ourselves sort of be played or used to a degree that we're uncomfortable with.
I find myself, as I kind of go down the rabbit hole of social media, it leaves me lonely, just relationship-wise. And lately, I've just been craving getting out and doing something real with people. And I've been hanging out with some really cute kids with 4-H. Yeah, just doing crafts with them. And it just made me hungry for interacting with people at that level. And I just feel like that should drive us to want to interface with other people more as we recognize it's taking something from us.
I think it's important for us to recognize the value of fleshly, incarnational relationship face-to-face and just the like the locality of that. I think what's something that I can become prone to very easily as I use social media is becoming a lot more concerned with what's going on out there in the world and a little bit more distracted than I ought to be about what's going on in my own community. And so I think the more we can focus on local concerns more than global concerns, the better off not only we would be, but the people we love and among whom we live would be.
Well, thank you so much, Chris, for spending this time with us on Mark and Friends. I really appreciate it. His book is The Wolf in Their Pockets, and it's produced by Moody Publishers.
Thank you so much for having me on, Donna. Thanks for this great conversation. Anybody listening can find me on Twitter at ChrisMartin17, and you can find the book wherever you like to buy books.
And thank you, dear listener, for being a part of our Mark and Friends program. Tomorrow is Friday, and that means that Pastor Jason Schiffo is going to open up the Word of God, and he does that every Wednesday at our headquarters, along with Mark and others who lend their voices and ideas as well. Mark and Friends is a ministry of Great News Media and the WLUJ family of stations. I'm Donna Leland, hoping you have a great day.